Greetings, my beautiful butterfly. I want to thank you for listening. I'm Kathy Ann, your Easy Menstrual Flow Coach and Women's Health Occupational Therapist. I come today to you just sharing the title of the podcast today, which is Fostering the Relationship Between Your Birth Story and Your Menstruation Story. And I think this is very important and very key. Because when I started to look at how to coach women along this path, I looked back at what I did and how I did it. And I came up with a process in order to have a blueprint, a framework, something that the ladies I work with can follow and then tweak to their specifications. So what I provide is not a written in stone process where you have to follow it in the way that I do it, but it gives you a framework. It gives you something to look at so that you can then create and tweak it to your own needs so that you can have your healing transformation for yourself. So what I want to focus on today is part of the flow process. So as you see in my title, it's Easy Menstrual Flow. And it's capital letters for the flow, because that's my framework, that's my process, that flow. And I'll just give you a brief overview of what each letter means, and then we'll go into the F of it, which is the fostering. So the F, like I said, is the fostering that relationship between your birth story and your menstruation story. The L is loving yourself no matter what comes up, no matter what's going on, just loving yourself in the midst of it all. The O is overcoming through cell memory reprogramming. So if you've ever heard of epigenetics, this is connected to that. And this is something that I learned and experienced during my training as a craniosacral therapist. And it's very powerful. So I use it as part of my flow process to help my clients to overcome as I have. And the W is weaving your easy menstrual flow life. So like it says, this is your easy menstrual flow life. So you weave it how you need to weave it for your benefit and for your transformational healing. Because I've already done mine and I continue to do it. One of the things that I'm currently just finished, actually, a training that I'm going through to help me dig deeper for myself so I can continue to help y'all dig deeper during your process as you work with me as a coach. And it's the Keepers of the Womb. It's an emotional wellness training that I'm doing. And I'm uncovering a lot of things and I'm looking at a lot of things that's being shared and understanding that I've already overcome a lot of this. That's why I'm able to help women at a certain level. But I know I need to keep going deep. I need to keep learning because I just, you know, my craft is important to me. And it's not just about telling you what to do. It's about helping you get to the other side without literally telling you this is the way that you do it, helping you to come to those aha moments and those realizations on your own with my prompting, with my facilitation, so that you can be your healer. I'm just a facilitator. You are your own healer. Just know that. So now we will focus on fostering. So let's talk about it. So fostering the relationship between your birth story and your menstruation story. And I'll share a little bit about mine. There's still things I haven't been told about mine, but I'll share with you what I know. And I am the product of a teenage pregnancy. My mom, when she gave birth to me, she had just turned 15 5 days prior. So when she shared that with me as I was growing up, I always tell her to this day when we have conversations that I was her best birthday present. And she always laughs. But when she shares some things about how it all started and how she got pregnant and all of that, she was 14, like I said. My father was in his early 20s. And this was her first experience. This was her first time having intercourse and being with a man. And she ended up being pregnant. you know, obviously she was scared. She didn't know what to do, and she didn't know, she didn't have anyone that she can go to or talk to from what she shared with me. And as, you know, the pregnancy grew and my grandmother, her mother, found out about it, her first response was not one of encouragement, one of support, one of we'll get through this. Her first response was to take her to a doctor to have the baby aborted. And my mom just went along with it because, you know, she didn't know what else to do at that time. And the doctor told my grandmother, "Do you want me to kill this child? She's 7 months pregnant." So that was what basically saved my life. You know, the fact that my mom carried small, from what she said, she carried long. So, and she was tall and thin, so you really couldn't tell until she was that far along, which was a blessing. But the other side of that is that my father, he indeed wanted to be a father. He wanted to be a husband. He wanted to take care of her. He wanted to take care of me. But her being that young and not really understanding and grasping that with him, she rejected him, and she rejected that whole aspect of, you know, being a wife and a mother, because she didn't, you know, she didn't know what else to do. And but she was an excellent mom, I can tell you that. She taught me independence. She was very encouraging to me as I grew up. She always told me I can do anything I want to do. I can be anything I want to be. And that was very, very helpful. And she always had my back, especially when there were others in our community who would say things against me and, you know, do things that she didn't agree with. She would confront them and let them know what it was. So I really, really love, you know, that she did that for me and helped me to see that I was protected, I was covered, and I was cared for in that sense. So looking back at that, you know, and understand that initially this wasn't her plan to get pregnant, you know, and even, you know, her diet and things like that, she shared with me that after I was born, you know, times were hard. You know, there were times where it was very hard, and she basically had to drink sugar water to make enough breast milk in order to feed me. So just hearing and understanding those things. And one of the things that we're going through in the training that I'm doing right now is understanding that when you're pregnant with a female child, and what we're taught in biology class, the fact that we have all the eggs we will ever need to have for our lifetime. That's why we end up going through menopause at a certain stage in our life, because we've used up the eggs if you, you know, go through a natural process. Because there are some women who have issues and have things that they deal with where they don't have a cycle. But right now, as we focus on what naturally and normally happens, we use those eggs up and, you know, we become menopausal and we don't have a period anymore at a certain stage in our lives. So going back to that, when you're pregnant with a female child, she's already carrying the eggs of the children that she will potentially have. So basically you're connected to three generations in one. You're connected to yourself. You're connected to that female baby that you're carrying, and you're connected to the eggs in her womb that will be your grandchildren. So anything that you experience during that pregnancy, any stress, any aggravation, you know, any physical harm or trauma or anything that happens to you is carried on, and it plays out in that child, and it may play out in your grandchildren unless there's work that's done to break that. And one of the things we talked about today was soul wounds and understanding the different things that can happen and be passed along. And some of y'all probably heard about breaking soul ties and, you know, the generational curses and things like that. It's all connected to that. So that's a little bit about my birth story and the things that were happening around how I was conceived and after. Now moving on to my menstruation story. At about 10 years old, I remember in primary school, because I grew up in Barbados, so we have primary school and secondary school there. There's no elementary or middle school. our high school per se. It's a secondary school, which is the equivalent to high school. And in primary school, about age 10, they separated the boys and the girls, and they told us about having a period and it being 5 days and it coming every month and, you know, things like that. Just the basics. They didn't even tell us about using the sanitary napkin or how to apply it or anything like that, how to wear it, nothing like that. And at age 11, it was June of that year, at age 11, I had my first period. It wasn't heavy or anything. It wasn't painful. And I was just given a packet of sanitary napkins and said, there's 10 in here. You're going to bleed for 5 days. You use 2 a day. And that was it for that. And no one gave me a demonstration. No one told me this is how you apply it to your underwear or anything like that. I was expected to know and understand. And in my naivety and in my ignorance of how that simple task was supposed to happen at 11 years old, I applied the sticky part to me instead of to the underwear, because I thought you put it to stick onto you so it can hold in place so everything can come out, can go there, and then you get rid of it, right? Subsequently, I learned differently. But yeah, that was my experience with that. And later on, like I've shared in the first podcast where I talk about how around age 13 was when I started to have painful periods. And that lasted until age 33, which is about 20 years. So I felt like the preparation that I had for my first menstruation and for that aspect of my life was not like I would have liked it to be. So I am, you know, obviously preparing differently for my daughter who's 7 now and preparing what I'm going to show her and explain to her and, you know, have her, be exposed to in order so that she can have a well-rounded, a holistic approach before she actually has her first menstrual cycle and have her first period. So this is something that you ladies, you wonderful, beautiful butterflies who are listening, should think about for the younger ladies and in your family and the ones who you have influence over who are coming up, who haven't had a menstrual cycle yet, or even those who have, and you felt like you didn't prepare them in a certain way. You have more knowledge and more information now. Share that with them, you know, help break the cycle, help correct that so that they feel now like they have what they need in order to do what they need to do on a monthly basis, okay? So that's just a little bit about my birth story and my menstruation story. And I want y'all to start looking at your birth story. You know, ask questions. Talk to your mom if she's willing to share. Talk to your father, aunts, uncles, grandmothers, whoever is around, you know, now that was around then, to give you some input and some information as to the emotional things that happened, the physical things that happened, so that you can have an understanding for yourself of how that's affecting you and your decisions and in your menstrual story and what's going on with you. So, you know, take a little time after you listen to this podcast episode and sit down and write some things down. What do you know about your birth story? You know, what happened around that time? How was it? How was your mother's diet? How was she eating? You know, was she stressed? You know, was it a wonderful pregnancy? You know, did she have a painful birth with you? Was it a birth that wasn't that difficult? You know, because even, you know, and to share about the birth of my 2 children, my daughter, who's, like I said, she's going to be 8 in September of this year, 2019. She was born at a home birth, a beautiful home birth in a pool in water. And I was able to have delay of her cord cut in to where all of the blood that needed to be transfused from me to her through the cord was allowed to transfuse before they cut it. I had a midwife and a doula. You know, I had herbs you know, for a sitz bath afterwards. You know, my husband was there. He didn't allow me to do anything for a month after her birth. You know, those kind of things are important. You know, having that support and being able to rest and recoup after such an experience. My son, on the other hand, was different. I started laboring at home, but he would not move down at all to the birth canal. I thought he was stuck, it felt like he was attaching himself to the left side of my ribs and would not move down with every contraction at all. So we finally called for the ambulance to come and transport me to the hospital. And don't you believe this little man, as soon as I moved from the stretcher to the wheelchair at the hospital at the receiving area, he decided he wanted to come in that moment. So I had two contractions right after I got to the wheelchair. I had to put my left leg over the side of the wheelchair in order to make room for him. And he came out. And I had to basically yell to the doctors and the nurses, "The baby's coming," several times because they didn't believe me. And they were so focused on getting me to the labor room, which is their natural process. But he wasn't waiting on their natural process. He was coming. And he came in that moment after that second contraction in that wheelchair. And they had to quickly take him, cut his cord, and transport him to the NICU to, you know, support him in that instant, because he came out so hot and fast that there was no time to really have them do the things in the way that I would have liked them to do, because this, I was in their setting, I was in their space, and this is just how they worked. So they took him, and I didn't see him until later. Another part of their birth story is I was able to breastfeed my daughter from the beginning with the aid of a nipple shield, because initially she didn't latch because my nipples were inverted, and we had to use a nipple shield for her to be able to pull my nipple out and be able to have the milk come into the receptacle of the nipple shield so she can breastfeed. And she, you know, my nipple came out. We were able to have her latch straight onto the nipple within a couple of weeks, which was fine. My son, on the other hand, because he was taken away so quickly because of how he came into this this space, he took about a month in order to latch. But now he's 8 months, going on 9 months, and he's a king at breastfeeding. So now we are good with that. But that was a little different in the beginning for him than it was for her. So both, you know, my children have varying birth stories, and I will share that with them, you know, as they get older, they can understand so that they will know their birth story. So it's very important for your children to know their birth stories and to understand, you know, the things that were going on around when they came in, when they were conceived, you know, while you were pregnant, so that they can then carry that information with them into their adolescence and into their adulthood and know why things are happening and be able to fix and correct things that are not for their best good. So that's just a little bit about the birth stories of my two children. So I want you to just look back at your birth story, ask questions, and then look at the process that was used for you to be able to go into your adolescent stage and have your first menstruation. You know, do you feel like you were adequately prepared? Do you felt like things could have been different? Is there something that was done that, you know, you liked and something that was not done that you wish was done? So just write those things down. And if those are things that you've been perseverating on, just, you know, perseveration means just going over and over again in your mind and just reliving it. And it's not helping you, you know, just start working on what you can do to remove that and overcome that, you know. And that's something that I do with clients, as I mentioned, with the overcoming part, just looking at that piece of your story, that piece of information that's not serving you, that's not helping you, because you keep reliving it, but you're not correcting it. And you just, you know, it's like opening up a wound over and over again. You know, you don't want to keep doing that. When you have a physical wound, you don't keep reopening it so it can keep bleeding, you know. So same thing with emotional and mental wounds that we're dealing with. You don't want to keep reliving it because it's not helping you. You know, be able to talk about it without getting emotional and without feeling like you just went through it again. You know, we should be able to get to that space. And that's one of the things I help my clients to do. So I want to just encourage you to do that assignment, do that homework for yourself. If you're a woman who's dealing with heavy periods and painful periods, and you know, you have all these thoughts and emotions and things that come up around the time that you flow every month, start, you know, taking the steps today. You know, don't wait till tomorrow to do it today, because today is when you're hearing this. Today is when you're feeling like you need this help and you need this support. Do it today. You know, you have to start taking care of you, because nobody else is going to do it for you. You have to start taking care of you. You're the most important thing. And when you take care of you, you feel like your needs are being met. You feel like you're in a good place. You know, you're better able to then support others out of your overflow and out of your full cup that you have. But if you're empty, your cup is empty, and you're drained and you're tired and you just don't want to be bothered, you're not any good to yourself, first of all. You're not going to be able to be effective for others, because you're already drained. You need to be filled yourself. So just think about that. Just work on that. And just, you know, you can email me and let me know if this was helpful for you or not. You know, if you felt like there's something that you need to work on, something that you feel like you wanted me to provide here that you didn't get, just let me know that too, you know, because it's something I can bring up at another podcast. So I'm here to serve. I'm here to help. I'm here to have you transform and be, you know, your best self. So for those of you who are listening to this and feel like you need additional support, feel like you need some help, I have two ways that you can work with me. You can do an Easy Menstrual Flow Intensive. I am no longer doing clarity sessions, because the information and the resources and all that I provide and do in order to have that session is really very intensive work. And you have to come ready to work and ready to change and ready to transform and ready to just be teachable and coachable and, you know, step up for yourself and ask questions, you know, stand up for yourself and say, I don't think this is going to work for me. You know, I work better doing this, because I need to know these things. I need to know that you are fighting for you, and you are there to take care of you, and I will support you in that no matter what, because I've had it done for me and I've done it for myself, and I'm there to do it for you as well. So Easy Menstrual Flow Intensive is one way you can connect with me and get additional support. And with that, you will get a menstrual cycle analysis. You will also get an herbal health history consultation with me, and then you will get that 1 hour of intensive coaching with me in order to set up your blueprint and set up your flow of what you're going to do for yourself and follow. And then you have access to me afterwards, so you can, you know, I'll give you more details then of how you can access me during that time of following through and taking the steps on your own. Or you can schedule one-to-one coaching with me, which includes a VIP day where you come to me here in Central Texas, and we have an awesome day of coaching. You'll get a VIP yoni steam session, which includes craniosacral therapy and emotional therapy. You will also get womb stimulation, which is a massage to the womb area, castor oil pack to help release toxins and emotions just so we can deal with them. Whatever you're ready to deal with, we'll start that process there too. It's just an awesome day and an awesome time, and it just adds such value to the one-on-one coaching that we'll be doing for 6 months. So those are the two ways that you can connect and work with me at this point. And I hope that you ladies who are listening are ready for your beautiful butterfly transformation at this stage. Okay. And if this is of support to you, if this is helpful, if this information just stimulates you to start taking steps to take care of yourself so you can have your own easy menstrual flow, and you know someone or have another lady in your life who will benefit from this, please share it. You know, don't keep it. Just share it. I'm all about sharing and helping others to heal as well and not leaving them stuck when I know what I do can help them. So just bless somebody else and have them experience their transformation as well. I hope you'll have a beautiful and a wonderful day, and I will see you on the next episode. Bye-bye.